College Football Nerds here talking Cincinnati and Notre Dame. And this one's going to be a little bit different. We're going to start with really the model and discuss around that kind of what we're thinking. Because we're having a hard time. Josh and I always, before we hit record, kind of talk through these things. And this time we're just going to kind of talk through it and let y'all hear our conversation more than a formulaic scripted sort of preview. This is just more of a roundtable discussion of two people about why we're struggling picking this game. And y'all in the comments, let us know if this format's terrible and let us know what you think the score is going to be. Also, y'all need to show up for the live show Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We've been doing them every week and they've been a lot of fun. We are talking football while it's happening on Saturday night. Immediate reactions of stuff that's happened during the day. We don't wait a whole day like Josh Pate, lazy guy. So check us out, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll have a live show. All right, Josh, so why don't you go ahead and do model first and break down kind of what the model is seeing, and then we'll sort of just have that fireside chat that we were talking about.
The model itself doesn't have a ton to work with because on one hand, you've got Notre Dame, who's played Florida State, Toledo, Purdue, Wisconsin. In theory, that was a good set of names, but it definitely looks less so, right? The Florida State, there's nothing really to say about them other than they've imploded. Toledo, Purdue are not particularly good teams, and Wisconsin at this point in the season hasn't really statistically been a phenomenal football team. I mean, still a good defense, but offensively hasn't been phenomenal. But at least you got four games, right? Four games, three P5 teams, a decent set of data for the model to work with. And our data is relational, so we can look at who you've played and say, okay, well, Florida State may not be the world's greatest team, but this is what they did relative to some other teams, and I can sort of account for that. Cincinnati's tough. I mean, you have Miami of Ohio, who's not good, FCS, Indiana, and a bye. And that's it. So from our model's perspective, which only uses FBS data, there's only two games to work with for Cincinnati versus four for Notre Dame. You got to give some kudos to Notre Dame for scheduling here, but this is sort of the double bad thing from the fact that Notre Dame plays so many teams on a bye. And when it looks at this data, I think it gets tripped up in a number of ways. And what it results in is a score of Cincinnati 41, Notre Dame 35. And when I say it gets tripped up, I'm not just talking about who's going to win it. I'm talking about the score itself. Because I don't think any of us really believes this is going to be a 76-point game. It doesn't make a ton of sense. It looks at Cincinnati and says this is a team that's giving up kind of almost shockingly 120% of their opponents' rushing averages, but only 80% of their passing averages. Notre Dame's giving up right at 98% of opponent run averages and 87% of opponent passing averages. So teams that are not good run defenses, as far as our model is concerned, but are very good or good passing defenses. I don't know that any of that's really true, looking at the two teams in practice. And even the scores, I think, are off, because it says, well, Miami of Ohio, 49 points for Cincinnati, Indiana, 38 points for Cincinnati. And they'll probably score in the 30s or 40s. It doesn't really have anything else to go by. I don't use prior year's data. I don't try to manipulate it. It's supposed to be a neutral self-learning model. The idea is to let the model figure out what numbers it thinks is important, figure out how it thinks the score is best generated from the data, and let it run from there. And I can take it or leave it, because I don't want to inject my own opinions. And with Notre Dame, you've got a lot of scores that are probably not realistic in terms of quality. And what I mean by that is, you get a Florida State game that goes to overtime. You have a Wisconsin game where, you know, they score, 30 points in the fourth quarter. And a lot of those points are, you know, defensive points or turnover rated points, where Wisconsin was in desperation catch-up mode and sort of, you know, throws points to the other team in a way teams will do when they're trying to catch up. Our model doesn't necessarily know how to differentiate that the way I've built it. That's maybe a weakness in it, but not something that usually comes up to this extent. And so the reality of all of this is, I think it's predicting a much higher score than it should. I think the prediction that Cincinnati, it thinks it'll have about a 50% yard per play advantage over Notre Dame doesn't quite make sense to me. And really, frankly, I don't really think anything in this model looks accurate.
And Notre Dame fans will tell you that's probably the correct way to think based on the fact that it had Wisconsin beating Notre Dame. I would say that the thing that I'm struggling with all of this is Notre Dame, so they had 20 offensive points in that game. I think I predicted them to score 17. I think you predicted somewhere around there, maybe 20 exactly. We're going to remember that final score, right? 41-13, and not the fact that Notre Dame was trailing going into the fourth quarter. Wisconsin's got a very good defense, so I don't know that there's any particular shame in trailing going into the fourth quarter against Wisconsin. The flip side, though, is we've got the same thing with Indiana versus Cincinnati, where Cincinnati was trying to claw to stay in that game for three quarters, and then things went sideways in their favor, and they ended up with a two-score win. But if you look in the box score, if you actually watch the game, you'd know that that was a much closer game than maybe, you know, you would think if you just looked at the final score. So what to do with that, I don't know, because I'm not sure that Indiana is a very good football team this year. I think Wisconsin is at least good on one side of the ball. Indiana's kind of bad. So in that regard, I don't know what to do. But then I think, Josh, like, this is where I'll turn it over to you. If you just put Ritter on Wisconsin's team, that's a whole different game, right? Because Ritter, who we aren't super high on, is probably a lot better than maybe the worst quarterback in D1 football right now.
Yeah, and I know I'm sure some Cincinnati fans are going to get really objective or object really strongly to the fact that we're not high on Ritter, but we're just not. He has really good stats when he's playing overmatched teams that can't deal with a run game, but like Indiana, 5.8 yards per attempt, and then last year, South Florida game, 5.5, Georgia, 5.5, Houston, 6 yards per attempt. When they play better teams, he does not really produce. And I still think he's a lot better than Mertz. The quarterback play that Wisconsin rolled out was incredibly poor, and it's obvious that, not to say that Wisconsin's a great team, but they are, whatever they are, they're hamstrung to an incredible extent by the lack of quarterback play. And I don't know that Wisconsin doesn't beat Notre Dame. I mean, that's one of the funnier, finer final scores in a long time, because it's 13-10 Wisconsin. Notre Dame runs a kickback. Wisconsin fumbles three plays later. Notre Dame scores again. Wisconsin misses a field goal. It's now 24-13. Then Wisconsin throws an interception. Notre Dame kicks another field goal, 27. Wisconsin throws a pick six. Wisconsin throws a pick six into the game, right? I mean, Wisconsin at one point is kicking a field goal to at least make it 24-16. And next thing you know, they throw three picks for 17 points in their next three possessions. And it's because they were trying to catch up and win the game. I don't know how to take any of that. The one thing I do know is with Cincinnati's opponents, I don't really have a lot of respect for Miami of Ohio. Indiana beat Western Kentucky 33-31, took 92 plays to get to their 33 points. That's not a good team either. So how do I evaluate it? Personally, just based off my eyeballs, I think maybe I like Notre Dame a little better. But based off, the data, how does one figure out anything in this game? And I know it feels like a cop-out to somebody watching this video, but we kind of want to impress upon you how deceptive the statistics are, how disparate the competition level is, and how much, like, Cincinnati-Indiana was supposed to be a big game. Notre Dame-Florida State, Notre Dame-Wisconsin were supposed to be big games. None of them are quite as hard as they were anticipated being, I think. And it's left us with much more of a vacuum than we expected in trying to pick this.
I'll say a couple of things, because a lot of what we just said will come across to people who are listening as, your team sucked and you just happened to play a team that sucked worse and that's why you won. And that's just the nature of how we are, because we're trying to find these advantages, which comes across critical sometimes. But for me, in this year, so we got to put everything in the context of this year. And in this year, these two teams are undefeated. Notre Dame isn't having a knucklehead loss against NC State, or almost loss against Georgia Tech, or going where they don't score an offensive touchdown against Georgia. You know, that's the kind of thing that I think that everything that we talk about this season has to be contextualized within. This is looking like 2007 kind of year where everybody's losing and it's wild and wacky. And we've got teams that even if they aren't playing great week to week, I mean, look at what Iowa did last, like they almost lost or could have lost to Colorado State. So it's just on its ear. So when you say somebody's bad or somebody's struggling, you always have to contextualize it with what, compared to what. And in that regard, both these teams are undefeated and they should be credited for that. Now, you said, what do we look at? And I know you're going to talk about where you think, you know, Notre Dame edges out. I'm going to talk first where I think Notre Dame edges out Cincinnati in this. I do think that they're going to face a much better quarterback this week, even though I'm not super high on him, a much better quarterback than Mertz. But Cincinnati probably won't be able to run the ball. And I know the yards per carry looking wild right here for Notre Dame, 2.5 yards, a little more. Notre Dame's got two NFL quality running backs. If they can get the offensive line going, which they started to in the second half of the game against Wisconsin, if they can get the offensive line going, they're going to be able to run the ball against Cincinnati. Especially we see, you know, 119%. If we're going to say Notre Dame, you know, 2.73, 119% allowed against not good competition, shows me that Notre Dame probably has an opportunity to run the ball in this game. I just wonder if that's enough. Like, I think that skill players are an advantage. For me, I'm going with running backs. Give me yours. What you think about this one?
The one advantage that I think may show up in this game is the emergence of the Notre Dame receiving core. We've talked about for a while, Notre Dame has lacked the ability to really stretch the field vertically or lacked the ability to have receivers that were, you know, consistent explosive threats down the field. And I think this year with Austin, with Davis, and with Mayer, who's finally starting to, I think, play up to expectations for the season, they're rounding into form a little bit. And to me, that might be enough of an edge. Now, Jerome Ford, a former Alabama back, has been a really explosive player for Cincinnati. And I only say former Alabama back to sort of impress upon Notre Dame fans. This is not some lowly recruited two-star nobody. This is actually a pretty high-level player that transferred there, and he's an explosive kid. And I do think this is going to be a low-scoring game. And in a low-scoring game, teams that find a way to get explosives usually win. Because, look, if it's 20-24 or something, it's going to be a couple plays that win you the game. It's not that you need to sustain 7 drives. It's that you need to find a way to score 2 or 3 times when you're not sustaining any drives. And so the team that has the best collection of explosive talent, I think, will win. To me, the combination of, you know, Williams and Tyree, Austin, Mayer, Davis, but mainly, you know, Austin and Davis from the explosiveness standpoint probably has a little bit of an advantage. But it's not a ton. One thing I should touch on, you know, like Drew Pine played really, really well in relief for Notre Dame. I don't think he'll probably be the starter. Sounds like Cone avoided major injury. 2, maybe you want to touch on this. I do think if Drew Pine, even if he does play, I wouldn't get too worked up about taking his, you know, 6 of 8, 81-yard performance and thinking that he's going to turn out, you know, 10 yards per attempt if he has 40 attempts in a second start where the other team has a ton of film.
Yeah, guys coming out of camp that are second or third string are that for a reason. A lot of times in these games where they come off cold off the bench, sometimes it's a disaster. Other times, they have this mentality that they've already lost, and there's no expectations, and they're playing, you know, really free. And we saw this against Alabama, the national championship game. I think it was Garrett Gilbert came in after Colt McCoy got hurt, and he was just dealing, right? And then when he came in to be the guy the next year, he was not dealing. So we see that a lot with backup quarterbacks who come in and have a moment, or they have a package that hasn't been shown on film. You mentioned as we were talking through this that was something similar that they had for Mackenzie Milton in the Florida State game, the Notre Dame Florida State game, where there wasn't anything on film to see, and that's why he was so successful, and that's why he's stunk it up since then. Is now that's all out there. Cone was the starter for a reason, and if he's healthy, he's going to go. I keep going back to a couple of things. So I think it's a huge advantage that it's at home. I think that there is a huge advantage for Cincinnati that not only are they playing coming off a bye, but Notre Dame has now played two consecutive teams coming off a bye, and Notre Dame just came off of a game that was 3.5 quarters of struggle, right? So that's – and Cincinnati is going to be fresh. I could see Cincinnati getting up in this game and Notre Dame having to claw out a win. This is so tough for me, y'all. I mean, Josh, I don't know how to pick this game. I really don't. I'm going to go with my gut, though. And my gut says that Cincinnati wins this game. I'm going to go 24-21. And when we talked, before we hit record, I was saying Notre Dame. But I'm going Cincinnati 24-21. Give me yours.
I'm going to go with Notre Dame 24-21. And I know hopefully it's been an interesting video for people. I know it's not necessarily been informative of who's going to win for sure. But we really, more than any we've seen in a long time, the two of us were watching this and saying, you know, we just couldn't find an angle or an edge. And I think it's really exacerbated by the fact that Cincinnati hasn't played four games yet. And they're on bye. And maybe that bye thing is a big deal to me. And there are two things I want to note, because I always try to make my pick and then look at the spreads and betting lines. Over-under in this game is 51, and Cincinnati is currently favored by roughly 2.5. One, I think Vegas totally lines up with the fact that this is going to be a low-scoring game. They're predicting mid-20s, right? And two, Cincinnati's a very slight favorite. But what I personally think is that if Cincinnati had played Wisconsin last week and Notre Dame was off, Notre Dame would be favored by 3. I think the situation here is a huge part of it. The fact that Cone is at least banged up, probably will still play, but may not be 100%. And the fact that they were, you know, just in a war with Wisconsin until really late in the fourth quarter, or midway through the fourth quarter, really. Whereas Cincinnati's been sitting there and watching film, prepping for this game, and undoubtedly is going to make Notre Dame their Super Bowl. But I also think it's kind of interesting or intriguing that we have this conversation about how these teams are stepping up, the fact that Cincinnati is on bye, that they've been prepping for Notre Dame. And Cincinnati is number 7. Notre Dame just climbed from number 12 to number 9. And doesn't it say a little something that Cincinnati has all these advantages in terms of the situation they're in and is barely a favorite over a team that going into this week they were ranked 4 slots higher than?
Yeah, and Cincinnati's been there all year and been there since last year. So it is interesting, but we saw this with Auburn and Penn State, right? Auburn was 24th, Penn State was 10th or 11th, and it was a 6.4 to 6 point spread. So it's weird this year.
Yeah, and this is a season where you can make an argument about almost every team's flaws. Maybe not Alabama and Georgia, though they've certainly shown their own flaws. But everyone else in the country looks totally beatable. It's funny. People remember 2007 being a wild and wacky year, and I think the reason that it was wild and wacky, and people forget this, is there are not that many teams that are perfect. Because if you've got a lot of really good perfect teams, they all run 11 and 12 wins, every one of them, and you get what we've had for the last 14 years. If you want a wild and wacky year with a lot of weird results and you want your team to sneak into the playoffs, you need a lot of teams to have flaws. And I think this year, there are a lot of teams that are good, but then almost everybody has flaws. Cincinnati and Notre Dame are no exceptions to that. But you know, they probably have fewer flaws than most teams in the country. And I think this week is going to go a long way in sort of continuing to flesh out what the strengths and weaknesses are for each team.
RL, that's it for us. Let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be, and you can get at us. We have not been super high on Notre Dame this year. We said in our preview that it was going to be a bit of a rebuilding year, but part of that is because of the respect we give the schedule that Notre Dame puts together every single year. It's not easy what Notre Dame does, so credit to them for that. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.